Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load, and as we do, let's talk with Dean Weingarten from, his most of everything we're going to reference today comes from Amaland.com. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing very well, thank you.
So let's start with this. For the longest time, we heard for years, over and over, you know, during Barack Obama's time, in 2013, by the time he'd been president to June of 2013, there had been 100 million background checks on his watch. Right?
Right.
And yet we keep getting told that, you know, there's only 100 million gun owners. And,
or less. Some of them said there were only 65 million.
Yeah.
They said, well, there's a bunch of, they are a bunch of old white guys.
Old white guys.
And
they're dying soon.
And they just buy a lot of guns and. And it's just the same people buying guns over and over again, and it's a shrinking number.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So, what have we found out? What has been revealed to us?
Well, this is, I find it interesting. The people who did the study are people in the healthcare industry, and almost always those studies start out with assumptions that are, shall we say, a little shaky about how guns are bad. I mean, I have found some studies that are not that way. There have been some pretty good studies that come out of healthcare professionals. But by and large, a lot of the studies that are in healthcare journals are often start out with wrong assumptions. Now, this one, I don't think that was the case. I mean, there are some things in it that I disagree with.
Sure.
But it seems to be fairly well done. And one of the things that they do is they acknowledge right off that what they're trying to find out is a very difficult thing to find out. And what they're looking at, and what the study was to look at, was how many gun owners are there out there who either don't answer surveys or just lie to somebody on a survey and say, no, I'm not a gun owner. I don't have any guns. And I have used the term, and I've seen it other places, it's not used in this study, call them shy gun owners. Gun owners who are shy about telling other people they own guns. And there are lots of reasons why someone might not want other people to know they have guns. First off, gun owners have been demonized in a lot of media. So why do you want to put your name out there as one of those people that's been demonized as being an evil gun owner?
Right.
And there's been a lot of talk about how gun owners shouldn't have guns. And so people don't want people to know they have guns because if they are on a list as somebody who has guns, they might cause more problems for themselves from certain government agencies, perhaps. And then there's the social thing. If you are in a social group that's mostly far left progressives and you are a gun owner, yeah, they might look upon you differently. I recall talking to someone. I won't say who it was. I know them fairly well.
Okay.
And their they're married to somebody who was in running in political circles and doing fairly well as a Democrat. And when I suggested that, you know, they might want to get handguns, they said, well, you know, because of the political thing, you know, I think I can, it'll be okay if I get it like a rifle or a shotgun, but I probably should stay away from handguns. And so it's just out there. You know, these people are, for a variety of reasons, there are many people who don't want other people to know that they are a gun owner, that they own firearms. And this study acknowledged that. And I want to give a shout out to Allison E. Bond. Allie Bond, as she is known, is the principal author of the study. She's named first. And the study itself, unfortunately, is behind a paywall. This is something, it's been out there for a while, but I find it very irritating when so-called scientific journals require you to pay to read the studies they publish. And there's a lot of that out there. But in this one, they wanted like $40 to be able to read the study. So I contacted the author, Allie Bond, and she was actually gone on vacation. But as soon as she got back, she immediately sent me a copy of the study to read, knowing that I was an author writing for Amoland and right. Read about this stuff, and I'd be interested. And without hesitation, I mean, she said, I'm going to be gone until this date, you know, and then on that date, bam, here's a copy of the study in my email box. And so this morning, after this study got, my article got published in Amoland, I sent her a link to the Amoland article so she could see what I had written. I mean, just common courtesy. But there are people who don't respond. But if you politely ask people on who write these studies, very often they will respond to you and provide them. So I was able to read the actual study, which is always important. I don't like to write about things where I've only read what other people say about that thing. You know, because then I'm getting things secondhand. And so because a lot of these academic studies, the wording is fairly precise, it's easy to get a misunderstanding unless you have the actual study in front of you.
Right.
So I had this one, and I read it. And I like the way that it's tentative. It says, these things are hard to know, which is absolutely true. But they used as I believe it's an internet-based database to come up with 3,500 people who are were chosen in order to be representative of United States adults. And the number of adults in the United States, about, at the time, to say about 258 million out of 331 million or so for the whole country.
Right.
The others represent, children,
right.
People under the age of 18. And they found from this that there were about 34.6%, a little more than a third, of those surveyed would admit to owning firearms. That's about 89 million people. And there have been other studies that come up with pretty close to the same number, and I've seen some of the studies, as I mentioned earlier, go down to as low as like 65 million people. And of course, that's a low. It's a low end number because of.
I'll tell you what. Hold up right there, if you will. Hold up right there, if you will, because we're coming up on the break. Because I got a few questions about this. This article got published on the 15th of August, and it is right there on the front page of Amoland.com. If you go checking it out, it is well worth the read simply because I've been talking about this for days. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Mm-hmm. Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Longevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Longevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and we're speaking with Dean Weingarten, talking about this article about the latest survey on how many people actually own guns. Although, listen, I got a question regarding this number they've come up with. Isn't that more people than are actually registered to vote?
Oh, I think it is. I mean, we're talking about very close to 2/3 of the adult population. And I think it's only about half are registered to vote, maybe a little less. So, yeah. the thing is, in order to be a legal gun owner, almost all of those are potential voters. You know, you can't be a felon. Now, there are going to be a few permanent U.S. residents who aren't citizens and can't vote.
Right.
But overall, there is a tremendous overlap between gun owners and voters. So this, and I mentioned it in the article toward the end, I said, this explains why it's hard to pass gun control laws. If you've got more than half the voters own guns, it's not good to say you want to put a bunch of restrictions on them or to denigrate them. And that is pretty common on the left-hand side of our political structure.
Yeah.
So, in the study, the way they did it is they looked at people who are acknowledged gun owners, and then they looked at what they could quantify about those people that was different from non-gun owners. And they don't say precisely what those things are. Now, maybe there is an addendum to the study somewhere. I'm sure that if I asked the author, she would tell me, you know, exactly how. They say that they look at a number of different things. And then they applied that list, and I'm being oversimplified here, to the remaining population. And they said, well, when we look at this list of things, if it matches in this way, we believe that about half of the people it matches would be gun owners, 50% probability. And using that 50% probability, they came up with it, besides the 34.6% who acknowledged themselves as gun owners, another 29%+ were likely gun owners. I mean, and that's large. We were thinking, you know, 100 million. I think you and I both have used that number at different times. And you have always been of the belief that there's far more out there than people who would admit it.
Yeah.
Well, in this study, they're saying that they think the number's probably in the neighborhood of 166 million.
But here's the question. If that's the case, then why are they concentrated in other areas, and are they not in these blue areas, these population centers where they have these crazy gun control regimes?
Well, what they said, and the way that I interpret the study, okay, because it's hedged with a lot of caveats,
right?
But I'm making large swaths of I'm cutting with a broad knife here to, for brevity's sake, but essentially what they're saying is a lot of the people who are shy gun owners live in areas where gun ownership may not be looked upon so favorably, like in urban centers. And a lot of them are maybe women, single women who are not white. And they speculate, they call it speculation, they're very open about it. They said, it's possible that those people might be in social circles where they don't want to admit, where admitting you have a gun is not considered a positive thing. So that kind of makes some sense. Now, what they didn't do in this study, and I don't see how you do it, well, let's say, I don't see how you would do it in a study of this type. I can think of some ways in which you might work at getting a number. They didn't look at, for example, how many people are prohibited possessors but actually have firearms. You know, like that fellow who committed a paperwork felony, you know, 30 years ago, but lives in a bad neighborhood, so he has a gun, even though technically he's not supposed to. Yeah. Or people who have restraining orders. So I don't think that's a very, very large number, but it could be one of the reasons people don't want to admit they might not legally be allowed to have a gun. And certainly, I recall watching an old police show many years ago. I think it's probably several decades ago. And I don't watch much television, but I used to watch more than I do now. And then it's a fictional thing, and I think it was supposed to be a realistic cop show. And they're looking for somebody, criminal of some kind or another, and they go into this house, and I don't know if they had a warrant. Maybe they did. But they look, and here down near a couch on the floor is a handgun. And there's a woman in the room, a woman of color, as I recall. And they ask, whose gun is this? And she says, I don't know. I said, well, if it's not yours, we're just going to take it. Now, I thought that was kind of weird, but in some places, like maybe California, especially in L.A., I could see where police might do that sort of thing.
Right.
Or they may have done it in the past more than now. So if you're in that kind of circumstance where you don't trust the police, it seems unlikely that you are going to tell somebody in a survey that you're a gun owner, whether or not you legally can have a gun or not. But it has to have some relevance to the way that people think. And if you have politicians that are denigrating gun owners, and you happen to be one, but you don't tell people about it,
right?
I would think that would make you less likely to vote for them.
Well,
and we've seen,
yeah,
we have been, the Second Amendment community, which I consider myself a part, have been politically winning. We've got these Supreme Court decisions now. That,
well, let me get you to hold up a minute, because coming up on the next break. But there's one thing I want to look at in this, because I keep seeing this, and I keep seeing people, anti-gunners, bringing this up too. So we'll pick it up in the next side. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holster for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Update. In the headlines, more grim news this hour out of Maui, where additional bodies have been found. As of this hour, 111 people recovered, more than 1,000 people still missing. San Diego prepping for bad weather over the weekend. Hillary churning right now off the coast of Mexico. It is expected to weaken a bit as it heads towards Southern California. New economic data out today.
Weekly jobless claims are down. The Department of Labor says initial requests for unemployment benefits came in at 239,000 for the week ending August 12th, which is a decrease of 11,000 from the previous week. Inflation continues to be high. The Consumer Price Index measures the change in prices paid by U.S. consumers over time. Prices have grown 17% since 2020, with energy prices the most volatile. I'm Lance Pry.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
All right, welcome back. Talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about this study. And there's a part of the study, that Dean, where they get out there and they're talking about the suicides in the U.S. involved firearms. But, I mean, every time they bring that up, I mean, are they starting to lean more on that as a actual thing to try to get gun control suicide? Because suicide is in the Asian countries, especially, suicide is much more prevalent there than here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In raw numbers?
In raw numbers and in percentages. Very much higher. And if you look at Japan and Korea, you see they have some of the highest suicide rates in the world, far higher than our suicide rates.
Right.
And the ability to access guns there is much reduced. They just don't have many guns there because they have been restricted from the time that guns were invented, just about, from having guns. And in this article, and one of the secondary authors has written a study about claiming that access to guns makes suicide more likely. And in the article, they reference and they say that they mention that about 50% of the suicides in the United States involve firearms. And that firearms are very effective in suicide. They're somewhere between about in the neighborhood of 85 to 95% effective. So not many people who commit suicide with a gun or who attempt to commit suicide with a gun survive. But I looked at this a year or two ago, and one of the things that struck me is that while we're at the point where roughly 50% of the people who commit suicide do it with a firearm, it used to be higher. If we look at the numbers back in, you know, around from 1989 to about 1997, the average at that time for suicides was about 60% of them were committed with a gun.
Right.
So the percent of suicides committed with a gun has dropped. Even as the number of suicides has gone up quite a bit, and the per capita number of guns in the country has gone up significantly. So it seems quite unlikely that guns are a driver of suicide. In my opinion, guns are a means to commit suicide, and they're an effective means. There are other methods that are nearly as effective. While guns are, you know, in the neighborhood of 90% effective, hanging is about 82 or 83% effective. So it's not much less effective. Drowning is in the neighborhood of about 84% effective. So there's other methods that are readily available. Most people can find a body of water or electrical cord they can tie to something high enough to allow for a suicide by hanging. That's the method that went up significantly in Australia when they made guns harder to get. So I do not believe that access to a particular method has much to do with the number of suicides that are committed. It's simply used because it's an effective method. And when you look at this, there are many people who commit suicides who attempt to commit suicide who survive. And in my opinion, a lot of those suicides are simply a cry for help, you know, that they didn't really want to die.
Right.
They just wanted to bring attention to themselves. That's usually not the case with people who decide to use an effective method like hanging or drowning or a firearm to commit suicide. So there's claiming that guns are the reason for suicide. I just don't find it very persuasive at all. And I think if you would somehow magically, get rid of guns in our society, I don't think the suicide numbers would drop. They might drop for a little bit as people adjusted to other methods, but I think they would just substitute other methods. And that's what we've seen in places where a particular method has been made more difficult to get. For example, in England, it used to be that quite a few people would commit suicide with coal gas. Now, they would put coal into like a big retort type of thing and heat it, and that would cause gases to come off of it, and then they could pipe that gas out to be used in for heating and cooking and things like that.
Right.
And it had a fair amount of like carbon monoxide and other stuff in it. So if you turn on the gas to an oven and put your head in the oven, you'd start breathing in these toxic gases and you would die. So they said, well, that's bad. So they did away. They changed the gas mixture, and they changed things in such a way that it was very hard to get a toxic mixture through your stove. Well, there was a little dip in the suicide rate. It took a little bit for people to figure out that didn't work, and then they switched to other methods, and the suicide rate bounced back up to where it had been. And so that's, I think, this idea of concentrating on the means of suicide rather than the motivations for suicide is not an effective way to reduce suicide.
I would have to agree. The thing about suicide is this. My first producer killed himself right after SHOT Show, as a matter of fact. Or during SHOT Show. I can't remember what it was. It was 2018, and it was in the SHOT Show. It was right before SHOT Show that happened.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand it. I didn't know what was going on. It just came out of nowhere. But it didn't really just come out of nowhere. This had been brewing with this guy for quite some time. So.
And that's often the way it is.
Right. So I contacted a clinical psychologist who dealt with people that were suicidal or people who'd come off of psychotropic drugs. And I asked her about it. And she said, what you have to understand about suicide is this. When someone decides to commit suicide, they have been seeking a solution for the longest time. And when they decide to kill themselves, this is the first moment of peace they felt in quite some time. And now you have to compete with them seeking this peace. And that would be very hard to overcome if somebody really is just seeking for that release and not having to deal with things anymore.
Yes, and a lot of people who commit suicide, I'm not sure of the exact number, but I think it's a strong majority. This isn't their first attempt. They've been thinking about it and maybe attempting for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I've known people that happened to. And just for people out there who may have the suicide ideation, it's not really a solution to your problem, and it creates horrible problems for everybody else. If you think you're unburdening people, you're not. You're not helping the people around you with this. It's not a solution for them. It creates another big problem for them.
Yeah.
So, and I think we're working hard at it. One of the, I find this thing where smaller percentages of people are using guns to commit suicide positive. And I'm hoping, even though the absolute numbers have been going up significantly, that that we can reduce the trend. But I think part of it is that our society is in a bad way.
Yeah, that's definite.
We have made it harder for people to connect.
Yeah, hang on right there, if you will. Last break coming up. This article you can find at amaland.com with well over 2,200 others that he has there. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. to your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
I'm on the firing line, and we are speaking with Dean Weingarten, and we're going to shift a little bit, and we're going to go to the Supreme Court decision and a 5-4 decision. On the final rule of in the definition of what constitutes a firearm, firearm receiver, or firearm frame, as defined by the Gun Control Act of 1968. Tell me about this.
Okay, well, the court has been, after a long quiet period, has been taking the Second Amendment seriously since about 2008 when we had the Heller decision. And then, you know, a couple years later, we had the McDonald decision. And then in between, we had the Caetano decision. And last year in 2022, we had the Bruin decision. And the Bruin decision was the most definitive and clearest decision that we've had from the Supreme Court yet. And it's because many of the lower courts, especially in circuit courts of appeal, like on the Ninth Circuit and the Second Circuit, were not taking Heller very seriously. They were just essentially saying, well, you said that we can do this, and that's not what the Supreme Court said. Or we've developed this situation where we have this two-step process where basically we can, if we decide that it's important to the government, we can ignore the Second Amendment. And in Bruin, the Supreme Court said in a beautiful decision written by Justice Clarence Thomas that no, that two-step process you guys created is not correct. It's one step too many. If you find that the conduct that's covered in the case you're looking at, if it's covered by the Second Amendment, then all you need to do is figure out if there's a long historical precedent at around the time of the ratification of the Second Amendment. And if there is, then strike it down as unconstitutional. If you don't have the precedent, you strike it as unconstitutional. Now, this case is sort of secondarily about Bruin in that people are looking more carefully at gun control and at administrative rules that implement gun control. And in this, the case Vanderstock, the Vanderstock case, the ATF implemented a long and complicated administrative rule called, and they just call it the final rule. And the ATF did not get anything changed with Congress. Congress did not change the law, but they went in and changed a number of definitions. And a couple of the definitions they changed are what constitutes a firearm and what constitutes a frame or receiver, which is that part of a firearm that you put the other parts on. You know, a frame might have a trigger on it, a hammer, a grip, maybe the barrel is attached in a lot of cases, it's that part which you assemble, the other part's not. And the frame is normally applied to handguns and receiver to long guns. But it's not entirely that way, but that's the general case. And so in the Fifth Circuit, there was a case that was disputing this change in the definitions, and it's called Vanderstock. And in the Fifth Circuit, a judge said, no, this is the ATF does not have the power to make this change, and so I'm vacating the rule. I'm saying the rule is not valid because the ATF doesn't have the power to do so. And this went up to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and the Fifth Circuit said, we agree. And it's pretty clear cut, so we're going to let the vacatur, I think that's what they call it, for the frame and receiver rule go forward. We're not going to say it can go into effect while we ponder the case. And the Biden administration took that to the Supreme Court and said we need an emergency stay right now because if we don't, it's going to cause bad things. And we think the Fifth Circuit's all wrong on this. Now, I was a little surprised because the Supreme Court took this into consideration. It's not that surprising because you're basically striking down this administrative regulation that the government has put forward. And the courts tend to defer to the government and say, well, if the government did it, it's probably okay until we can prove different. And in this case, they looked at that and they said in a 5-4 decision that they were going to grant the stay to the Biden administration. I was a little surprised. I thought they might very well just agree with the Fifth Circuit and say, no, that stay is appropriate because we're going to go back to the status quo while we decide this case. But they didn't, and the people who voted for it were Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Amy Coney Barrett and the three, far-left justices. And so it was a little bit surprising. Now, does it mean that they will vote against whatever the Fifth Circuit finds in this case? And no, it doesn't mean that because they're just saying they're granting the stay. And they're telling the Fifth Circuit to go ahead. And there's going to be oral arguments in the Fifth Circuit on the 7th of September. And the Fifth Circuit has said they're going to accelerate the process for this case. They said that before the stay was granted by the Supreme Court. And so I think from what the Fifth Circuit said, they're very likely to rule against the Biden administration. And then it will be up to the Supreme Court if they decide to take the case or not. And there's a good chance they may decide not to take the case. But this decision makes it even a likelihood that they would decide to take. I thought the logic in the Fifth Circuit was very good. But, how words are defined and what they mean and is at the very core of how these cases are decided. And we'll just have to wait to see what happens in this case. And it may well be, a year and a half before we know. Because it takes a lot of time to submit the briefs and for the justices to consider them. And the oral arguments are on the 7th of September. So it's going to be a while before we find out.
Why did Coney Barrett, why do you think she went along with this?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know.
Yeah.
In these situations where they decide to grant a stay or not, they don't submit briefs. They don't submit arguments. So all we know is that four justices, Justice Thomas, Justice Alito, Justice Gorsuch, and Justice Kavanaugh, voted against giving the stay.
Sure.
So that means the other five had to vote for it. They don't say they voted for it, but by telling us who voted against it, and because it went into effect, we know it had to be five justices that voted for it. it may be, there's some technical things about the stay. One of the things that the administration said is that the Fifth Circuit had misread the procedure that should be gone through in challenging these administrative rules. So it's possible that Justice Barrett or Chief Justice Roberts were saying, well, by the strict procedural rules, we should grant this stay. We don't know if it's that or some other reason. Maybe they just said, look, it's the administration, it's the government, we should defer to them. We don't want to just wipe out a rule without having all the arguments come forward, at least at the appeals court level, and we're going to grant stay. We simply do not know what the reason was for those justices.
We'll have to take a look at this, and maybe we'll know more about it by later on this coming week. We're about to run out of time. As usual, Mr. Weingarten, thank you very much for gracing us with your time. I know that you're a busy, very busy man writing as many articles as you do.
It's true, and I very much appreciate being on the show. It's always fun.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's I'm trying to decide whether it's the listeners that enjoy you more or me. So it may be me that for long, maybe you'll be on the show more often than I am, and I can just come on twice a week.
Well, we don't know what the future will hold.
Who knows? Anyway, back again in about 22 hours. Between now and then, remember this, it has never been about gun control, not once, not ever. It has been, it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
I've seen just about every corner of this country, 3 million miles in my career. I spend a lot of hours on the road, but I love being my own boss. The road can be a beautiful place, but you're out here on your own. There certainly are risks. I'm Charles. I'm a truck driver, a husband, and a father. And that's why I choose Federal.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.